Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your eternal blessings. Thank you, Lord, that your name is upon us and your blessings abide. We're thankful, Lord, for transformations. We're thankful, O God, for new days, new seasons, for revival, refreshment, renewal, for the experience of your goodness day in, day out. We celebrate your love and we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Help us day by day to emulate, to reflect, to show forth your glory in real ways, in real times, forever in Jesus' name. We decree this so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before I get to the word of the Lord this evening, and welcome first and foremost, being here this evening, I'd like to remind us again of the word of the Lord to us for this month, the month of October, the 10th month. God has a very specific word for us, as he has every month spoken to us very specifically. I believe it was in March that the Lord began speaking very particularly about each month to us and what that month was to be for us and what we should expect by the Spirit of the living God. God ministers to us by that which we expect. He says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Amen. And the Lord also said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." Amen. So let us hear the word of the Lord to us for October. The Lord, enjoying the goodness of the Lord. The psalmist says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The word of God says that God loads us daily with benefits. If you're not expecting the goodness of the Lord, well, what you're not expecting, you will not experience. God will daily load us with benefits, with his goodness. Have you reflected on this day to see how God's goodness was revealed to you? If you didn't, then it happened and you did not enjoy it. Praise the Lord. And the goodness of God is revealed in so many ways, different ways. And if his benefits are new every day, well, expect that the goodness of God is going to show up in your life differently every day. Amen? It's not going to be stale. And that which you are thankful for will continue to increase. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, it's been a while since we did Bible studies on Wednesday. I think the last time was sometime in July. Yeah, July, late July. was the last time. So all of August and all of September, we did not have our Bible study. And today is the first one. And we'll start together from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I believe we finished Colossians chapter 2 the last time around. Colossians chapter 3. The word of God says in Colossians chapter 3, if ye then be risen, if ye be then risen, if this really has happened, that's basically what it's saying. If this really has happened in your life, if you have truly risen with Christ, then this is what you will do. This is going to be a telltale sign of the fact that you risen, that you seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. You will seek first the risen Christ. You will seek first that which is above, meaning the kingdom of God. You will seek those things which are above, if ye then be risen. If you risen, this is what it's going to be like. Now, when we talk about that word, risen, we must reflect on the fact that those that are risen are dead. The first died. Sunagero, which is that word for risen, reflects back on that, because you cannot rise without first dying. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, Romans 6 and 5, the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, for if we have been planted or buried together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. If you died like him, were buried like him, then you will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what is the likeness of his resurrection? Yes, we do know that he went through walls like the walls, you know, there were no walls. He didn't need a door. And there was no distance for him. He showed up wherever he wanted to show up. But one of the key factors of his resurrection is he says, listen to Mary, don't touch me. I got to finish what I started. I'm going to present my blood. And so one of the key determining factors of the likeness of his resurrection is that we have a finishing perspective about the kingdom of God. We want to do what God wants us to do. Jesus, our Lord, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. What is it that we look for in the world? Every other thing. He says, well, seek first. You want to get all this other stuff? Seek first. I know you need, you like that, right? You like this, you like that? I'll give all of that, but do this first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. And so it says to us, seek ye those things which are above first. Now, back to Romans 6, 5 and verse 6. It says to us in Romans 6, Romans chapter 6, it says, knowing this, You got to know this, that our old man is crucified with him. This is what died. Our old man, our old life died with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. So the result of that dying is that we are placed in a position where we are no longer serving sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. So if we are slaves, still slaves to sin, it means that we've not crucified the old man. I don't care what any preacher says. I don't care what your so-called experience says. That's the real deal. You crucify the old man. Knowing this, know this, that our old man is crucified. It hung on the cross with Jesus Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed. In order, sin is a personality. Sin is not just something that you do. Sin is a personality. Sin does things through our bodies. So we think sinful thoughts. We act in sinful ways because sin is operating, sitting at the throne of our hearts. But if the body of sin is destroyed, then sin doesn't have a body to live in. That makes sense? Sin, it says that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, what then happened? Oh, Rika Shika Yataba. If the body of sin died, then the body that I have is a new body. The body that I have is a new body. It is no longer the body of sin because the body of sin is destroyed. Just like I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but I'm physically here, so also is the body of sin destroyed, and this body is a new body. If any man be in Christ, that man is a new creature. All things passed away. Behold, all things are new. So what is the word of God saying to me? It is saying that I need to consider and in this particular passage in Romans 6, it's going to use the word account. I need to consider my body dead. I need to account the body of sin that I had in July 24th of 1974, that body died. And that from that day, I have a new body, and it's called a born again body. I am born again. I have a new body, and this body is not conducive for the habitation of Mr. Sin. That's what it's talking about. It goes on in verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you died by being crucified, then you are freed from sin. And verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. How is he living? He's living resurrected, ascended, and seated. And Father says, sit down here until I make all of your enemies your footstool. So that's a place of rest. We shall also live with him. 9. Knowing that Christ being, notice the word, being, present tense continuous, raised from the dead, dieth no more. He is consistently raised. Death hath no more dominion over him. It brings me back to the statement of the Lord to me about, I guess, about 15 years now, at least. I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. Strong statement. And he says, death hath no more dominion over him. We are still dying physically, not because it is the plan of God or it is part of our portion, but because we've not believed. If my body died and sin has no more dominion over it, then I should also believe that the body of sin, which is the body of sickness and disease, died. And that this new body is a sin-free, sickness-free, poverty-free body. But the problem is that we look at the world and we define our lives by the world. And Jesus says through Paul to us, if you are risen, then seek those things which are above. Those things which are above do not have lack attached to it. They do not have sickness and disease attached to it. They do not have the frailties and the failures of this natural world attached to it. But my focus is not there. Therefore, since my focus is not there, I'm not experiencing everything that that realm has to offer. So my thinking needs to change. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. I know we're studying Colossians, but Colossians, the word reason is triggering me to go to other passages so that we can have a good sense of what we're talking about when we're talking about in Colossians. Verse 10 goes on. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Notice this statement. He died to sin once. That was done. But from now on, it is living. He is living unto God, not once, consistently. And if we are in him, then that's how we live in, consistently in God. No longer living in sin. That's powerful. The next verse goes on. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed. Reckon, account yourself. That's a key statement. The fact is that we're not reckoning ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus our Lord. I'm dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. The natural, the believer generally thinks, oh, I'm a sinner. Well, if you're a sinner, then you are married to sin. When Mama got married to me, she became an Ephesino. Because she became one with me. And the children that we birth are all Ephesinos. Until the ones that our ladies got married and they became a different name. But the track root backs down to Ephesino. The other day, my grandson, the youngest grandson, was at the house, and he was sitting on my chair at the dining table. And the mom says to him, "You got to move from that chair. That's Papa's chair." He moves and sits where he was going to sit, and then he has a question. "Why does Papa sit on that seat and Mama sit on that seat? Why do they get to sit on those seats and I can't sit on those seats?" So the mom explained to him, "Well, because they're the head of the family. It's the head of the family. And that's the seat of honor that they have, the seat at the head of the table. And when we are in our house, we sit at the head of our table because, and someday you will sit at the head of your table because you're the head of the table." See, Papa is the head of the family. He's the first in our family in this land. But why does he have to say? I just told you why. Okay. Well, Jesus is our head. And we all belong to him. But if sin is our head, then sin becomes our Lord. See? But he says here, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Reckon ye yourselves to be dead to sin. Because if you're not dead to it, then you're still married to it. Actually, Paul in one of the writings says, he says, we were once married to sin, basically. But when we died, we're no longer attached to the one that we're married to. See? If you see yourself, "I'm no longer married to sin. Sin used to possess my body, possess my life. I'm no longer married to that sin. I'm now belonging to Jesus, and I live my life unto God." Then God's word says, you're in the right place. But you have to reckon. That's a key word. You have to reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. If you don't reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, account yourself to be dead unto sin, then sin will continually have logistical power over your life. The word reckon is the word logizomai, better pronounced. And in that word, logizomai, you find the root word logos. And as you've heard me share many times, the word logos, which is the word, is also an accounting statement. So when we talk about logizomai, we're talking about accounting ourselves. Recorded, paid, accounted. This issue resolved. This debt is paid. Therefore, you don't have the capacity to rent this body anymore. You've been kicked out. You cannot be a tenant here anymore. Now, this is interesting because the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that when an evil spirit, an evil presence is removed, it goes, and when it comes back and sees that house clean, it goes and gets 7 more wicked spirits and comes back and takes a hold of that life, and that life is 7 times, 8 times, whatever amount of times, worse than it was before. And that's what happens to people who were raised to be believers. When they do not allow Jesus to take residence in their lives, their situation later is terrible. I'm sure you might have come across somebody who used to profess Jesus Christ as Lord, even preach the gospel. You know, I'm told, I don't remember the name of the gentleman now, but he was one of Billy Graham's associate preachers. Top, like second in command. The guy falls away from God and became worse than the devil, so to speak. Lived a terrible, one day he was preaching the gospel. The next moment he's all against Christ and all against the things of God. And there are many people like that who've not accounted themselves to be dead. Indeed, don't miss that word, indeed, indeed, for a fact, dead unto sin. And therefore do not give room to the devil to operate in their lives. And let me do verse 12 and we'll go back to Colossians. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it. Who doesn't let it? You. You, me, I don't let it reign, have control, be king, have authority in my mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So what is the doing the lusting? Sin is doing the lusting. Sin is borrowing my body, borrowing your body to sin, to satisfy its wicked ways. You think you're the one enjoying the sin? No, you're not the one enjoying the sin. Sin is enjoying the sin. And in the process, destroying your body. You think I'm the one enjoying the booze and enjoying the drugs? No, it is sin that is enjoying the drugs, but destroying your body. Don't give your body, your mind, any part of you to sin. That makes sense? When we begin to understand what the real deal is here, we'll begin to be able to say, no, I am not going to let you use my body to do that. No. 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 See, you can just say no. Yes. Guess why? Because you've got a will that cannot be overridden by God. And because God made certain that your will is not overridden, and Him forcing you to do something that you don't want to do, He doesn't give that same right to the devil. Capisce? Because love is not possible without free will. Neither is hate possible without free will. You've got a free will. God made certain of it. Because if you don't have a free will, you will not be able to be saved. Say that again. If you don't have a free will, you cannot be saved. You say, well, what do you mean? If you don't have a free will, you will not have the capacity to say, Lord, save me. Jesus, come into my heart. Not when the devil is sitting in the throne of your heart. He does not have overriding sovereign power over your will. It's the truth. The devil made me do it. It's not the truth. You did it because you wanted to be in compliance. Because you bought into a lie, a deception, a corruptive pattern that the enemy was generating. In Romans chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 5, Romans 8, beginning to read from verse 5, the Word of God says, "For they that are after the flesh," if you focus on the things of the flesh, you will mind the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit," the things of the Spirit. Don't mind the things of the Spirit. If you're spiritually minded, you're going to mind the things of the Spirit. If you're flesh minded, you're going to mind the things of the flesh. Your focus is going to be on the flesh or in the Spirit. It's a decision. Flesh, Spirit. What's my decision? Spirit, okay. I focus on the things of the Spirit. You mind the things of the flesh, you follow the things of the flesh. These are powerful, powerful passages of Scripture, and the implication of all of this is that God's best is ours. He says, "For to be carnally minded," to be carnally minded, is death. To be carnally, meat, flesh, flesh minded, phronoma is the word minded, phronoma. If you are flesh-minded, the end result is death. What ultimately is death? Separation from life. What is life? God is life. So death also ultimately is the separation of me from God. But to be spiritually minded is life, and not just life, it says, and peace. Wow. Union with God, unity with God, oneness with God, peace. Peace, in the Hebrew, it would be the word shalom, but in the Greek is the word irene. Irene. So if your name is Irene, your name is really peace. And what does that picture? It is that realm where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. But this is a very all-encompassing word. Shalom, shalim, peace, irene. It also means prosperity, good success. It means that your life is not corrupted. It is true, the Word of God says, "My people perish because of a lack of knowledge." When we stand before the Lord, there will be no regrets. There will be no tears. But I think that we will look back and we'll see all the stuff we left and all the things that we experienced for no reason. There's no reason for it, because the price has been paid. It reminds me of a story I read many years ago of a man that was coming from Africa to Britain to get educated. He had a scholarship. When he got to Britain, he was going to have a free education, and gathered all of his monies together. He bought his, at that time they didn't fly, it was all by ship. And I think the trip was maybe about 2 weeks or something like that. He bought his ticket, got into the ship, went into his cabin, and stayed in his cabin all through the trip, snacked with whatever it is that he had, until whatever it is he had was all gone. When the ship finally arrived and docked, the captain was at the entrance, shaking the hands of all of the passengers as they headed out to the port. And here comes this man. And the captain says, "I didn't see you all. I greeted all of our passengers that were out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner different times, but I didn't see you. Why is that?" "Oh, I was in my cabin. Why didn't you come out to eat?" "Well, I only had enough money to buy the ticket." "You had money to buy the ticket?" "Yes." "Didn't you know that included in that ticket was the price for all of your meals? That your meals were already paid for when you got that ticket?" "You might not try. I was hungry all this time. My tummy growling when I smelt all that nice food. I was supposed to be able to eat and I did not eat." "Yeah. But you've arrived anyway. Welcome." And that is going to be the story of so many people. They're going to get to heaven, but they would have arrived in heaven broke, arrived in heaven sick with all kinds of diseases, arrived in heaven with all kinds of issues, no peace, no nothing. And they will arrive and the Lord says, "All of that was paid for. All of it was paid for. You didn't have to go through that." My prayer today for myself and for you and everyone listening to me is this, that we will have no regrets, that the daily benefits that God has for us, we will enjoy every day of our lives. Somebody shout hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. It says to be spiritual minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. A carnal mind is an enemy of God. That tells me there's nothing called a carnal Christian. Because the carnal mind goes against God. Why? It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. If you're carnal minded and focus on the things of the flesh, you are not subject to the word of God, to the law of God. You cannot be subject to it because your mind is focused on flesh, not on spirit. "Pastor, I cannot break free from this addiction." Where is your mind? That's the question. Where's your mind? Are you focused on the things of the spirit or focused on the things of the flesh? "My mind is being tormented." Where is your focus? I'm being traumatized by fear. Where is your focus? You say, Pastor, that's making things too simple. If you only knew. No, I'm saying this to you because I only know what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? But that's not what that man said. That's not what that elder so-and-so. That's not what that prophet so-and-so. That's not what that doctor so-and-so. That's not what that apostle so-and-so. That's not that what that pastor so-and-so. That's not what that deacon so-and-so said. That's not what my friend said. That's not what my family people said. That's not... What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? Don't try to explain it away. Oh, Pastor, you're taking it so literally. Well, if I don't take it literally, I cannot have faith. If God said it, then that's what it means. I don't know, I don't need to explain it. Let him explain why it's not working. The reality is, it might just not be working because I am not engaged in faith, looking at those things which are above. Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Guess what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the Word of God just told you exactly why faith is not operational in your life. You're flesh-minded. You're carnally minded. And when you're carnally minded, you cannot have the hearing of faith. When you're spiritually minded, God will dumbfound the so-called wise with the foolish. Who's the fool? The fool that says, I believe there is a God. Not the fool that says, there is no God. But the fool that says, I believe God is well able to do this in my life. Get out of here. Grow some brains, man. No, I'm going to grow in faith, believing that the God who told me in his word that this is possible is a God who cannot lie and is well able to do exceedingly far above that which I dare believe, dare think, they consider. I can live victoriously. This body is not a body meant for sin. This body is the temple. Is the temple of the living God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. Get that? Ye are not in the flesh. But ye are not in the flesh. That's a statement of faith. Ye are not in the flesh. The word is sax. But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Why does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Because you have a new body. And the Spirit of God is there because the body of sin is destroyed. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you're none of his. Get away, I don't know you. Yeah, but I was in church. Lord, I was in church. You're in church, but you are flesh, carnal-minded, an enemy. Even Satan comes to heaven. Book of Job, he when the sons of God were gathering, there comes Satan too. Satan comes to church. Sin comes to church. It hears the word of God, but it's not subject to it. Why does sin come to church? Because you, with your will, came to church. God was speaking to you, come. And you came to church, but were not willing to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Kill it. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Why is the body dead? Because of sin. When Christ is in you, because you decided that you did not want to rent your body to sin anymore. Therefore, that body had to die. But the spirit of life, the spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Right standing with God. You have a new stand. It's not the stand of sin reigning, but the sign of Christ reigning in the throne of your heart. Verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, what spirit is this? The spirit of God, the spirit of the Father that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, this quickening of your mortal bodies is not just the quickening of you being quickened and you go to heaven, or you be in the presence of the Lord, seated in heavenly places, but it's also a quickening of this body. Remember, the body was destroyed because of sin, but God quickens and gives you a new body, gives the body that was dead to sin life. So Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the same body that died is the same body that came alive. That just like the word of God says that we are born from above. And I'm still standing here in Winnipeg, but when I get born again, I'm in heaven, born in heaven, come back. God does something to my physical body. You know, this truth in the Word of God is so powerful that I believe that people, when they get saved, should also get healed. It all makes sense to me. That the body of sin dies, I'm raised up and quickened, and I'm raised up with a new body, no longer to die, but alive unto God. This is radical truth in the Word of God. And I know there are people just, you know, biting their tongue and, you know, thinking all kinds of crazy thoughts. What is that? What is he talking about now? Oh, I don't think so. Well, stay where you are. There is transformation available because of the debt to sin and not giving sin, which brings corruption. That is removed, and my body is renewed to be possessed by the quickening life of God. Jesus, when he died, took on all of our sin. Did he not? All of the sin, the sickness, the disease of the world, everything was on him. When they buried him, he went to that tomb with all of that. When he came out of that tomb, he did not come out with any sickness, with any disease, with anything. He was transformed. Ah! If we died in the likeness of his death, we shall also rise in the likeness of his resurrection. We died with all of our sin. We came up all righteous, right standing, new creation. All things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Wow. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So through the Spirit of God, we mortify. Through the pneuma of God, we mortify. What does it mean to mortify? It means to kill. Through the Spirit, tanatu, the actions, the deeds of the body, you live. But living is being focused unto God. That's exactly it. My focus to the Lord kills my feeding the flesh. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How do we do this? I'll go to verse 14 and then Did we start from Colossians chapter 3? First verse, we're still in the first verse and we went through all of this. Well, it is to have an understanding. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. This is getting serious. And what is all creation looking for? The manifestation of the sons of God. Simplified, all creation is looking for that which is looking unto God. The author and finisher of faith. Those that are heavenly minded and seeking that which is above. That's a remarkable thought to consider tonight. We'll stop here. Next week, we'll start verse 1 again of Colossians 3. Praise the Lord. I encourage you to consider the things we've talked about tonight. And deduce from these derivatives that we've seen in the Word what all of this should mean to us on a daily basis as it relates to every aspect of living based on the truth of God's Word. What has the right to grow in me? Because based on this word, when I remind myself of the integrity of this word, and I say that the body that sin reigned over is destroyed, and I understand that because of sin, death, sickness, poverty, everything that is evil came into the world. If sin is no longer having reign in my life, and that body is dead, and the new body is raised up, then my body must be separated from everything that has to do with sin. If I can associate it with sin, I'm not saying my personal sin, but sin as a personality. Understand that. Sin is a personality. Sin is a thing. Sin is not what you did. You become a sinner because you're married to sin. You are... Jesus is Lord. Sin, when you are associated with it, relating with it, makes you a sinner. When your life is given to God, and God is living his life through you. He says, you're dead. It is Christ that lives in you. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Then it is Christ who is living through me. Just like sin was living through me, now Christ is living through me. My body now belongs to Christ. It used to belong to sin. Now it belongs to Christ. Then where Christ is must be fully attended to, cared for by Christ, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the magnificent word of grace that you have released unto us. We embrace this word. We say yes and amen to it. And we declare, God, that your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. Your abundant grace, let it flourish. We declare the body of sin dead and destroyed. And we declare that it is raised up, that our mortal bodies are raised up and possessed by you, no longer under the influence and the control of sin, but now under the influence and control of our sovereign Lord forever, In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I trust that there's something that was said tonight that your spirit clave to. It made you say, yes, this is what I want for my life. I want to see the body of sin dead, and my life, my body, my mortal body, quickened by the Spirit of God, so I can live a new life for His glory and honor. And may this new body God has given to me be sanctified for His glorious name. Yes, there is going to come the day that we will have a totally new body. Not an old body made new, but a totally revamped body. But until then, this body must be new, revamped, because it's no longer headed by sin, by Lord sin, but by Lord Jesus. But we also believe that that body of sin, when it died with all of my sickness and diseases and all of that. And I need to reckon myself in this new body as a body that is no longer under the control of sin and all sin has to offer, which is corruption. But now it is possessed by an incorruptible seed. And that will make the word of God make sense. Hallelujah. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. All that is within me will bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Let us be radical in our acts and actions of faith as we honor God today with our giving. Trust Him to continue to increase us. Trust Him that we are no longer under the influence and the control of that old man that was banished out of the garden of Eden, but that we have the presence of the Eternal One in us, and we now have access in this earth realm to our garden of Eden, where we continue to eat of the fullness of what God has for us. There is no lack in Him, saint. No lack of any good thing. He will not hold anything from us. And let us demonstrate that as givers also. Be blessed. Be highly favored of the Lord. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord and be at peace. Be reminded that this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we will be celebrating to God together Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Be reminded of the fact that God wants to tabernacle in your new body. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. God bless you. See you Friday for another wonderful time in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Bless you. And good night.